GAA program is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
Gee, Vargas Falchuk and Ian Clark coming, Luke Glasgale and a shock to the show with me, Tom Comeck, as always with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And, well, I hope you do stay tuned because ahead of Sunday's big game in the Ulster Championship, that's the Ulster quarter final meeting of Tyrone and Monaghan, two of the big guns in Ulster at the moment, and this game seen very much as a big game in the Ulster Championship. It's in Healy Park, and well, we go down memory lane tonight with two former stars from the respective counties. Raymond Munro from Carrickmore and Tyrone will join us, and so too will our good friend Eugene Newdy Hughes from Monaghan. That's to come later in the programme, but first, Donegal are celebrating Ulster success already, and that's the Donegal ladies under 16 team. They defeated Cavan on Saturday and they are Ulster champions. 4-10 to 5 points, how it ended. Megan Halvin from Neefporic Club in Muff, she scored two of the goals, both two of them from the penalties, the other two from play. And well, Greg Harkin is the manager of the team. And earlier this evening I spoke to Greg before he headed out to training to tell us about the success and what it means to Donegal under 16 girls and Donegal ladies football.
Well, Greg, first of all, congratulations. Thank you for joining us tonight on your big success at the weekend. Ulster champions once again.
Fantastic, Tom. Great for the sport, great for the girls themselves, because they're the ones who've been at this all winter, you know. So, no, delighted for them, to be honest. That's your first thought when you go into games like that, and after the games like that, is you want them to do well. And they certainly did that. I mean, they were superb on Saturday.
Yeah, well, 4-10, what was it to what, 6 points, 5 points, big score, big
margin? 4-10 to 5, Tom. We've been good on defence all year. Like, we've conceded an average of 7.5 points per game, and we thought if we can keep Cavan down. Like, Cavan are the queenpins, I suppose, of ladies Gaelic underage. They're the ones who are picking up all the other titles. I mean, they won down to 14A this year in the minor A, and they're doing well at senior level as well. So they've, I suppose, a smaller county to deal with, and you know, logistically they can pull their team together a lot quicker than we can. So we knew we were up against it. They were clear they were the favourites, so the holders as well. They're the reigning All-Ireland champions. So we just knew if our girls played to their ability, and they have an amazing ability, that we could do it on the day.
Well, obviously the big difference was the ability to score goals.
Absolutely. Listen, we got two of those four goals were from the penalty spot for clear penalties that prevented goals being scored. So, yeah, I mean, we took our chances when we got them. And when they came at us, our defence line just held true all day. So we conceded 4 points in the first half. We only conceded a single point in the second half. So I think that kind of sums up, you know, it wasn't as if we were on the attack all the time. We had to defend, and when we defended well.
Tell me a little about the team.
They're from 17 clubs, Tom, around the county. You know, there are girls, some of whom I would have had back in 2015 and 2016. They've all been through the Sunday morning academies that we run every summer and autumn. So all the girls would be familiar to us. We would know them. Some of them, 8 of them I would have known from having in 2015 and another 12 or 15 the following year. So the girls, we know them, we know their families, you know, we're kind of close, we get on very well, and I suppose that's the key to the whole thing. We have a bit of crack doing it as well, Tom. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're children. We try to have fun when we're doing it, and, you know, the girls are all, I suppose, the girls pull together as a team. You can have all the best individuals in the world, but unless they pull together as a team, you know, you're going nowhere, and this year they really pulled together.
And tell me, have we another budding Geraldine McLaughlin on the horizon?
I think we've got a number of Geraldine McLaughlins and Yvonne Bonners and the rest. Yeah, I think this is another generation of that ilk. You know, it was the Geraldine McLaughlins that last won this trophy back in 2009. So it's 9 years since we've had this trophy in Donegal. So that those are the players who were coming through at that point. And I'd be very, very hopeful for the future, Tom. There are a lot of very good footballers coming through, right through from under 13s, 14s, 15s. Our under 15s, for example, are through to their Ulster final. They play Tyrone this Saturday in Glensfully at 2 o'clock, having already qualified for their final. So, you know, there's a lot of progress, a lot of hard work, and then obviously we're all volunteers. We all give up our time to do it. but you know, you don't always get your rewards. But this year we certainly got one there on Saturday, and as I said, it didn't happen overnight. There's a lot of academy coaches and club coaches involved in the process. They say success has many fathers and mothers, and certainly there's a lot of, you know, you can't claim all the credit for this. This is, you know, I have a two great coaches, Barry Ward, former senior Donegal player from Eoruil, and Joanne McKenna, who actually was the captain of the Donegal under 16 team. He won that trophy in 1993 from Stephen Glenfinn. You know, so he's a bit of experience there as well. I've got Lorena Barron from St Mary's, qualified coach, and one of the female mentors. So we've kind of a small group of us doing it, but enjoyed every second of it, to be honest with you, Tom. It's been a brilliant year, and it's not over yet, thank God.
When is you're through to the All-Ireland semi-final now?
We play Galway. Galway, the Connacht champions, they beat Mayo, we'll be at points there on Friday night, and because of the exams and stuff, there's a bit of a break, so our girls are all taking 2 weeks off, and they deserve it, and we won't be doing too much training during the junior cert, because a lot of the kids are doing junior cert this year, so we'll be back on the pitch for competitively on July the 4th. It's a Wednesday. It's a 7:30 throw-in. We're just waiting in the venue. We're hopefully it's going to be somewhere around Sligo, which will be handy certainly for the girls from the south of the county.
So all in all, underage girls football in good shape.
In great shape, Tom, and I think it's down to, there's a lot of factors involved. I mean, our senior ladies have been doing well the last couple of years, so that's attracting more girls to the sport. It is the fastest growing sport in the country, and you know, I think the men's winning the All-Ireland 2012 kind of sparked it, and I think the ladies doing well in the last couple of years, winning two Ulster senior championships, kind of spurs people on, and you know, there's nothing like pawning on your county jersey, you know, at any age. And you know, Michael Murphy, who captains the men's team, and Karen Guthrie, who captains the senior ladies, you know, have spoken to our girls and told them, you know, they're no different from them. You know, they're pawning on their county jersey and they go out and play with pride, and they do that, and they do it in spades. You know, they've been amazing all year.
That's Greg Harkin there, manager of the Donegal under 16 girls, who won an Ulster title for the first time in 9 years on Saturday last. They defeated Cavan in that final 4-10 to 5 points. Megan Halvin from Neave Porrick of Muff scored four of the goals, two of them from the penalty spots. It was a good weekend all round for Donegal. Of course, the Donegal hurlers had a big victory over Tyrone in the Nicky Rackard Cup on Saturday also, and they play Leitrim this weekend. And Donegal, of course, as we all know, defeated Cavan 220 to 115 in the big game in McCool Park. A little bit of disappointment, obviously, for Donegal minors or under 17s. Suffered a 2-point defeat at the hands of Monaghan, who certainly seemed to be growing in stature at underage level in the province in the last couple of seasons. It was a game certainly Donegal could have won. They were leading right up to the closing few minutes, but Monaghan just pulled away and got their last 5 scores to win it by 2 points. But some redemption, I suppose, for manager Gary Duffy and his team after the heavy defeats to Monaghan in the league and to Tyrone in the first round of the championship. One wonders maybe if the house had been got in order a little bit earlier, it might have been a different story altogether. But that's it. You're listening to the GAA programme with me, Tom Comick, as always with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. We're deep into championship territory. There was a big game in the West at the weekend as well. Mayo are going to have to go through the back door if they're going to make it through to the All-Ireland final, because they went down to Galway in a very tight game in Castlebar on Sunday before a crowd of 29,000. A general feeling the crowd of 9,600 in McCool Park was a little down, a little disappointing. Seemingly Cavan people didn't travel in the great numbers. But I imagine Monaghan people and Tyrone people will be cramming into Healy Park on Sunday, because that's the big game in the province this week. It's probably the game, probably many, many people labelling it the Ulster final one, whoever knows. But I'm delighted to say I'm joined by two former greats of both counties, Raymond Munro of Tyrone. Raymond, good night to you.
Hey Tom, how are you?
And of course our very good friend Eugene Newney-Hughes from Monaghan, treble all-star if I do believe, a couple of them in the forward line, a couple of them in defence, so obviously he's joining us as well. First of all, boys, starting with you, Raymond, the home team, what's the mood like in Tyrone?
Well, I would say, you know, it's not been overconfident. Tyrone know the task is ahead. I suppose it's one of those teams they may not have wanted to meet so early on, because Monaghan this year have had a tremendous run in the league. And Tyrone will be quietly confident in their own ability. They're at home. And I know a lot of people look at that to be an advantage. Omagh hasn't been a great hunting ground for Tyrone over the years, but on the day, I'm hoping, and I mean, I certainly confident Tyrone can come out by a very narrow margin.
Yes, Raymond, I was surprised actually, because I was up at the press briefing last week, and I was surprised to hear that Tyrone and even Mickey Hart doesn't count to Ely Park as kind of a fortress like what he labelled McCool Park, or maybe Kingspan Breffni Park, or me, well, I'm not sure about Clonus. I think we all kind of enjoy going to Clonus.
Yeah, I know. I suppose Ely Park, I suppose, is going for a while as the home ground for Tyrone, but relatively new too, and that a lot of people would have associated mainly Dungannon years ago, and that maybe been a better stronghold for Tyrone. But since it's moved to Ely Park, and that, you know, I suppose Tyrone have had some very good days in it, but they've also had some very bad days in it. So, you know, it's all to play for. Certainly, it's down to the two squads of players. And as I say, I don't think Tyrone will be, and I don't think Monaghan will actually fear coming up to Loma, because, as I say, previously it hasn't been the best of grounds for Tyrone to perform on.
Eugene, that's... Well, music to your ears, I'm sure you know it anyway. You never had any great fear coming to Ely Park.
No, nice to talk to you, Raymond. Nice to talk to you, Raymond, again. I'm starting to feel sorry if he's down there at the moment. Any time you play Tyrone, no matter what field it is, it's something you'd be relishing, but also a bit of fear in the game, because that's what makes players tense, and the nerves play up. But Monaghan are very settled this year now. They've got a few options compared to other years. And going down to Ely Park, we know the challenges ahead and the fact that it's Ulster football. And Monaghan haven't been scoring in tight matches in Ulster. They've been averaging scoring 13 to 15 scores per game. Tyrone, on the other hand, can score up to 19 scores per game in the last big profile games in Ulster Championships, and that's where you're going. But Monaghan would be quietly confident. We had a good run in the league, but equally Tyrone lost the opening three games. They also had a fantastic finish to the league. They were sitting on third position, thrown on fourth position with 2 points and the difference just.
So obviously, talk to me about Monaghan in the league, because they surprised a lot of people, and it wasn't that Malachy O'Rourke was going with the tried and trusted. He brought in a lot of young players.
He did. He gave the opportunity to players coming through. As you highlighted earlier on, Monaghan have been doing well on the underage structure, and Banty over on the 17th progressed very well now, and the win last week against Donegal. We've closed the gap against Tyrone, but in closing the gap, you've also blooded new players. And Conor McManus, who's the top scorer from 14, 15 and 16 in the Ulster Championship, he has support players now. He has Jack McCarron. He has Conor McCarthy. Owen Duffy has a revelation. Desi Moen's made a good comeback. All these players have added to the dimension. Desi Ward, Ballybea, the Wilds. They're all younger players coming through. And what they have done, they played to a system. They know what exactly is expected of them. And like everything else, they don't get flustered. They're very tactical in their moves, and that's working for them.
Anyway, that's the voice of Nudie Hughes, and we'll just park that for a moment, Nudie, and maybe Raymond Monroe, but just before we go back to Raymond, we'll actually go for just a quick break.
The GAA programme is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
Fáilte Rash and my special guests tonight are Raymond Munro of Tyrone and Eugene Hughes of Monaghan. And of course, the topic of conversation is the big game in Ely Park on Sunday. That's the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarter-final meeting of Tyrone and Monaghan, and many people seeing it as the Ulster decider already. Before we return to Nudie and to Raymond, just a text in here, say, sad here, the sudden death of Francie Ward from Glenfenn at the weekend. Francie was a founder member of the GAA club in Glenfenn. His sons wore the jersey at different levels. Francie was a true gentleman. Sincere condolences to all the family. Indeed, certainly more condolences here from Highland Radio Sport and all of the sport. And obviously, the Ward family have made a great contribution. His sons, Seamus, Liam, Frank, and Dermot, of course, all played for Donegal as well at various levels, and wore the jersey with distinction. But very good clubman. And Francie himself was a gentleman indeed, and a true gentleman. His daughter Kathleen as well. So a large family there, and a huge funeral on Monday morning, certainly paying tribute, and I suppose highlighted the esteem in which the late Francie Ward was held. Or yes, Jagerow and Annam. Well, back to our tonight's programme and our look ahead to the big game on Sunday. Raymond, before we go back and look at the game, just your own memories of playing Tyrone. I'm sure you came across Eugene Udy Hughes a couple of times.
Well, I suppose, unfortunately for myself, the first memories of Udy was actually marking him in the 88 Ulster final, or I suppose on that occasion trying to mark him. Udy would have been coming in with a big reputation, and you know, myself, I would have been new to the squad in 87, and I suppose the memories was getting my hand on the first couple of balls, but then I put my belief on a high ball coming from Emma McEnany, and you know, the rest history. It bounced off Aidan Skelton's chest, and I'd have sort of moved myself to the side expecting Aidan to take it and fist it out to me, but instead it bounced straight to Udy, and the rest is history. He was able to hit it into an empty net, and you know, that I suppose settled him into the game very quickly, and I suppose it disrupted me slightly, and I was moved off him, and then I was substituted at half time. So those memories stick with you. It was a lesson early on in my career, and you know, that's the thing when you're in the full back line. If mistakes of that is made, the next place is the goals, and it's difficult to come back from them.
Yeah, and that was the Ulster final. A tight game, wasn't it?
Tight game, yeah, on the day, you know. I suppose we can argue about the penalty. It never was at the end, but come here, them years ago, it's a title, you know. Mullen come in on the back of that. I mean, my memories back then were, I think, you know, 86 maybe they were in a National League final, 87, 88 maybe semi-final in the National League. So they've been coming in, you know, with strength there and playing good National League campaigns, and ourselves, I suppose, were coming in off the back of the 86 All-Ireland final and trying to find a few new players and that. Well, the majority still was the players that played in 86, you know, so football was different then, a different sort of tactics at the time and that, and, you know, maybe not as mobile as the players are nowadays, but certainly a lot physical and strong players in that time and playing that type of football. But it's an occasion and I certainly remember well and enjoyed well, been part of, but obviously the result didn't go in my favour.
Yeah. I know you, Nudie, you can feel his pain, can't you?
Oh, I can feel it. I'm actually shivering still from my foot. It's like everything else. It wasn't an empty net. As far as I could say, I thought there was 10 men in the goal line like it is now. But it's one of those days you can be in the right place at the right time, and it's just luck to tell to be in a position like that. But you know, it's unfortunate. If I got the position that Noel McGinn was in, I'd have been lying down. But as a defender of the first team, when you get the ground, you get straight back off. And so that's what happened on the day. But it was a very tight game. There was 2 points in it just at the end. But like there were marvellous games. Monaghan and Tyrone served up a great game of football. Always very physical. And there'd be no difference in this on the tactical. But like, we just had things happen on a day. Players make the most of the opportunity that comes their way, and the unfortunate thing from the opportunities arriving players now, they won't shoot at goals. They pass it to the shooter. So, you know, in our time, when you got an opportunity of shooting for a point or a goal, you took it, and on the day, it had to make your impact, and that's what your job is as a forward.
And Raymond, the penalty decision, all seriousness, was a big decision. It was late in the game, wasn't it?
Go on ahead, Raymond.
No, certainly it was late in the game, and I suppose, you know, obviously getting the penalty was one thing, scoring it was the next thing. I suppose our penalty taker would have been Scotty Conway, you know, and he was hitting freeze. I think if my memory was on that day, I'm not sure, I think Monaghan made a score at all from play. They didn't score anything from freeze on the day, and whereas we lived off an awful lot of freeze coming our way, which... But certainly I thought at the time it was a penalty, but obviously the referee seen it different, and it was at a very vital stage of the game, at the end of the game, and with 2 points in the balance, you know.
So obviously you were pushing forward, because it was Noel McGinn, the centre-half-back, who was up in that attacking position.
Yeah, we were chasing the game, obviously we were 2 points behind coming into the day and second to the game, and You know, I don't even think there might have been a play after it once the ball was kicked out and won, the game was over, you know, so it was that close to the end.
Yeah. And Nudy, Monaghan were, Tyrone and Monaghan, I suppose, were up there at the time as well, weren't they? You would have won a league title around that time, wouldn't you? And was it 88 the year you drew at Kerry, was it, in the semi?
Yeah, no, the 85 was the year we drew at Kerry. But the 80s team had achieved, competed in seven playoffs in, to get to the National League in the quarterfinals and semifinals for that team. And they were fighting, but not say fighting above the weight, because I think it's very hard. The players go out and perform. And the one thing you notice is that you get every ounce from Tyrone and from Monaghan. Both teams really empty the tank every time we meet. And those are the 80s. We performed very well, as we said. At that time, you had to reach the playoffs to get extra money from Croke Park to finance the county board. And Monaghan achieved a seven quarter-final playoffs. And they've done very well in that. And we lost the league final to Laois in 86. And by a point, and Ian McAleenan was injured, and he came on for a period of the second half, and he swung the game around, but we still fell short by a point. But we were competing in semi-finals and quarter-final, semi-final league, and also those the championship. But it's also the championship really ignites the players, and players look forward to it, as it was last weekend at Coole Park and for Cavan Donegal. And for Monaghan, it'll be the same this weekend, but the Monaghan game takes in Tyrone, takes a new life, and the gap is closed from Monaghan's point of view, and as it was in the 80s with ourselves. We didn't fear Tyrone, but you always knew it was going to be a tight battle.
And tell me, in terms of Sunday or Sunday's game, where do you see the key battles?
The key battles will be in midfield. It depends on who lines out. Tyrone have been rocked by injuries. The big point from Monaghan's point of view is the fact that Sean Kavanagh has retired, a graceful footballer, a man that knows what it took to win, and performed a very, very admirably with Tyrone. And he's, from Monaghan's point of view, definitely is a booster for ourselves. But on that there, Tyrone will also galvanise their own strengths. And we went 6 points, 7 points clear in the league in Castlevania. Tyrone came back and we eventually scored a point. We won it by a point. There'll be very little in it, but the midfield, but I think Monaghan's key battle is be the forwards. With Conor McManus, the top scorer from number 14 up to number 15, 16, he's been really a revelation for his country, for his county and his province. And he's doing it at the club as well. But you've also got Jack McCarron, you have Conor McCarthy, you have Kieran Hughes, who's finished the league very well, Desi Ward, you have Carol Connor. So we have numerous players to call on now. Before this, we were looking more at Conor McManus all the time. So there's a good variety. Maliki's introduced new players throughout the league, and the performance of these young players has given great heart to the Monaghan people, but it's also encouraged other players in the county, and Monaghan are stepping up to the plate now. But Sunday's a big test in Healy Park, and I honestly believe it'll go down to the wire, but I think we'll share it by 2 points.
And Raymond, Nudy mentions there Colm or Sean Kavanagh, and of course Colm Kavanagh is going to miss it as well.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's going to be certainly a big loss from experience. Obviously, Colm knows Tyrone's system inside out. A lot of, I suppose, the system was built around Colm, and getting a ready-made replacement for him. You know, obviously this year Tyrone have tried to add another dimension to their game, and where they're maybe going to the forward line with more speed of the ball this time. And Lee Brennan had been a revelation in the league. As Nudy alluded to, championship football is completely different. It's a different ball game altogether. And you know, this will be a baptism of fire for the likes of Lee. Going back to the likes of Conor McManus, you know, they're tried and tested. They've played on the big stages. You know, he's been a marquee forward for years for Monaghan. And I certainly agree with what Nudy has said. You know, Maliki has a more settled team. Maybe Tyrone used a lot of players trying to find out, you know, new players for new positions, and with a view to actually expand their game more offensively or adding a new dimension to it. They were looking for those type of players. Coming to mind, the likes of Frank Burns is probably, you know, the ready-made replacement for the likes of Colm Kavanagh's role. Frank has been used playing at, you know, at under-21 level. I know Mickey brought him back into centre-half-back and to sit back there at the latter stages of the league, and he'd been a revelation in that. But obviously Mickey will know his best players to put on the field. Maybe as Tyrone supporters, we wouldn't know or be as confident who's going to take the field as what Monaghan would be and who their players are going to be on the day. And, you know, the gap's so little in it, it's going to be a very hard one to call. And I think whichever way we're calling it, and as a Tyrone man, I call it in Tyrone's favour, I think there is only going to be a kick of a ball in it. It's going to be that close. And certainly one that everyone's looking forward to, you know, because the belief that Monaghan will have in themselves this year with that massive result in Croke Park, and people may say Dublin hadn't their strongest 15 on the field, but how often have Dublin beaten everybody not with their strongest 15 on the field? And, you know, actually to go to Croke Park, get that result, certainly would have added an extra belief to Monaghan and what they were capable of taking to Championship football. And but again, as I say, Tyrone have a lot of experience, albeit at underage level, maybe not the same success as senior level, but they still have a lot of quality players in there, and, you know, they play for each other, they know their own system, and, you know, they're able to spread their scores across the team as well. So, you know, I'm quietly confident that Tyrone can get a result.
And I know, Nudy, unfortunately, the clock is catching up on us. Your heart and head are saying Monaghan.
I think Monaghan by two, but as Raven said, also Monaghan Tyrone, it takes on new life. I think Monaghan just shared it this time.
Look, that's great. Thanks to Nudy Hughes and thanks to Raymond Munro for going down memory lane and also casting their verdict on Sunday's game. Hearts and heads favouring Tyrone for Raymond Munro, and same for our Monaghan for Nudy Hughes. That's it for me, Tom Cormack, from this week. My thanks to my special guests, Nudy Hughes and Raymond Munro, to Greg Harkin, and also to Jimmy Stafford on sound. Good evening, Shock and Jogan, Slánagas Bannock.